The greatest group of people to walk on the earth after the Anbiya are the Sahaba of the Messenger sallallahu alaihi wasallam, those who earn the divine approval of Almighty Allah, whose praises have been enumerated in the noble Quran in numerous verses and again by the blessed tongue of our beloved master Nabi sallallahu alaihi wasallam. It is these people and they alone who are the subject of radiyallahu anhum wa radu an. Allah is pleased with them and they are pleased with Allah. And amongst the noble companions, we have the personality of Sayyidina Abu Huraira radiallahu ta'ala anhu. Sayyidina Abu Huraira radiallahu ta'ala anhu embraced Islam at the hands of Tufail ibn Amr al-Dawsi before Hijrah. Tufail ibn Amr al-Dawsi, after embracing Islam in Mecca, returned to his people and invited them to Islam. And the first to accept was Sayyidina Abu Huraira radiallahu anhu. Whilst many of the tribe were still insistent on their disbelieving ways, Sayyidina Abu Huraira embraced Islam prior to Hijrah. And shortly thereafter, Tufail ibn Amr returned to Mecca with Abu Huraira to complain to the Prophet ﷺ about the stubbornness of the Daws tribe. And they approached Nabi ﷺ and said, Ya Rasulallah, inna Dawsan qad asat wa abat, fad'ullaha alayh. O Nabi Allah, the Daws have disobeyed and rejected, supplicate to Allah against them. And Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam then lifted his hands to supplicate. And Abu Huraira radiallahu anhu says that I saw the Daws. I said the Daws are destroyed. But to his surprise, the Messenger Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam, instead of supplicating against them, supplicated for them, saying, Allahumma hadi Dawsan wa'ati biha. O Allah, guide Daws and bring them to Islam. And this dua had bore its fruit and had brought approximately 80 families of the Daws tribe into Islam thereafter. Sayyidina Abu Huraira radiallahu in the year 7th after Hijrah then migrated to Medina along with other families of the Daws who had embraced Islam. And while on his way to Medina out of jubilation, he said the poem, Ya Layta, oh how long was the night, min tulin ha wa ana'iha ala annaha min daratil kufr najjat. That, oh, how long was the night of journey, how severe was its difficulty, but nonetheless it has saved me from the abode of disbelief. And likewise, out of happiness, he freed his slave who had absconded on the way to Medina and had later returned after he accepted Islam. Sayyidina Abu Rayy radiallahu narrates that he says, my name before Islam was Abdul Shams, and Nabi Salasim gave me the name Abdul Rahman. And the reason why I was given the title Abu Huraira is that I found a cat, and so I carried it in my sleeve, and I was thereafter dubbed Abu Huraira, the father of the cat. And Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam would also call him Abu Hir, and hence he preferred to be called Abu Hir. Thereafter, he was most concerned about his mother, and he wanted her to accept Islam as well. And the first time he invited her to Islam, she very, very strongly refused and made some disrespectful statements regarding Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam. And Sayyidina Abu Huraira returned to Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam crying and requesting Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam make dua for Islam. And subsequently to that, when he went to visit her, she had taken a bath and thereafter willingly accepted Islam even before he approached her. And Abu Huraira radiallahu anhu says that, فَجِئْتُ إِلَىٰ رَسُولَ أَسْلَمْ أَبْكِي مِنَ الْفَرْحِ كَمَا بَكَيْتُ مِنَ الْحُزْنِ. I came to Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam crying out of joy, just I had been previously crying out of grief. And he says that he requested Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam to make dua that Allah endears him and his mother to every believer. And Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam made the dua, Allahumma habib ubaydak hadha wa ummahu ila kulli mu'minin wa mu'minatin. So loving Abu Huraira is a sign of iman, and hating him is a sign of hypocrisy. Therefore, each one of us should love this great sahabi. Sayyidina Abu Huraira had earned an acclaimed position as a prolific narrator of hadith. He had narrated the most amount of hadith from Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam. He only achieved this great feat in which he was second by none other on account of two things. His tremendous sacrifice being poverty stricken and in hardship. His zeal for learning hadith from Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam. You know, bearing poverty and hunger, he recounts his difficulty and he says, لَقَدْ رَأَيْتُنِي, I can picture myself, وَإِنِّي لَأَخِرُّ, and I fall unconscious between the house of Sayyidina Aisha and the pulpit of Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam out of hunger. And a person would pass by me and would sit upon my chest. I would raise my head and tell him, it's not what you assume, it's only hunger. Can you imagine, you know, out of hunger, a person falls unconscious. We can never imagine that. And in order to suppress the hunger, he would at times press his liver against the ground and would also tie stones to his stomach. And at times, when the pangs would become unbearable, he would ask some of the prominent Sahaba a question, hoping that they would take him home and give him something to eat. This was because one of the, on the one hand, the pangs were too severe to bear. On the other hand, his modesty would not allow him to ask them directly. And he would say that if anyone would gift something to me, I would accept it. As for asking, I was not one to ask. And these sacrifices bore its fruit. And when people were expressing their amazement at how many ahadith was narrating, he responded to them by saying that, إِنَّكُمْ تَقُولُونَ إِنَّ أَبَا هُرَيْرَ بِكَثْرَةِ حَدِيثِ أَنْ رَسُولَ اللَّهِ صَلَّى اللَّهُ عَلَيْهِ وَسَلَّمَ. That you will say that Abu Huraira narrates many hadith from Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam, and before Allah we will stand one day. I was a poor person, I would serve Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam, and upon satisfaction of my hunger, the Muhajirin were preoccupied in trading in the market, the Ansar were preoccupied in maintaining their properties. So, it's clear from this that he had given preference to staying in the company of Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam over everything else. And thus, he was contented with little and would satisfy his needs. And his poverty had prompted him to stay constantly in the company of the Prophet Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam. His poverty had thus eventually proved to be a blessing for him and the Muslimin, for it had resulted in him preserving the Sunnah of Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam for the Muslims. And he had great zeal for learning the Hadith. There is no doubt as to the fact that Sayyidina Abu Huraira was the most zealous Sahabi when it came to learning and assimilating the Hadith of Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam. We've spoken about his sacrifices, and the sacrifices are testimony to this, in terms of the fact that he made great sacrifice. His zeal for Hadith was that he wanted to remember every Hadith from Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam. And once he complained to Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam, he said, O Nabi of Allah, inni asma'u minka hadithan kathiran. And so I hear many hadith from which I forget. And Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam told him to open his shawl. He opened it. Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam told him to gather it to his bosom. And he says, I gathered it to my bosom. And ever since, I've not forgotten a hadith. And Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam himself attested to the phenomenal zeal of Abu Huraira radiallahu anhu, that on one occasion, قُلْتُ يَا رَسُولَ اللَّهِ مَنْ أَسَلُ النَّاسِ بِشَفَاتِكِ. O Nabi of Allah, who will be the most privileged with your intercession on the day of Qiyamah? And Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam replied, and he said, I assume, Abu Huraira, that no one will ask me. لَقَدْ ظَنَنْتُ يَا أَبَا هُرَيْرَ لَا يَسَلُنِي عَنْ هَذَا الْحَدِيثِ أَحَدْ. That no one will ask me about this before you. لِمَا رَأَيْتُ مِنْ حِرْسِكَ عَلْ الْحَدِيثِ. Because I see your zeal for learning hadith. إِنَّ أَسْعَدَ النَّاسِ بِشَفَاعَةِ يَوْمَ الْقِيَامَةِ مَنْ قَالَ لَا إِلَهِ إِلَّا اللَّهِ خَالِصًا مِنْ نَفْسِهِ. The one who will be most privileged to have my intercession on the day of Qiyamah is the one who says, La ilaha illallah, sincerely from his heart. Who says, La ilaha illallah, sincerely from his heart. So when we take the name of La ilaha illallah, when we say La ilaha illallah, we should say it sincerely from our heart. Abdullah ibn Umar radiallahu anhu will tell about Abu Huraira radiallahu anhu, he says, Anta kunta alzamana li Rasulillahi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, wa ahfadana li hadithi. You accompanied Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam most from amongst us and were the one who memorized the most hadith. One person came to Talha ibn Ubaidullah and asked him, O Abu Muhammad, do you see this Yamani? Is he more knowledgeable regarding the hadith of Rasulullah Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam than you people? We hear him saying things which we do not hear from you. Or is he just attributing to Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam what he did not actually say? And the response, he said that as for the fact that he heard from Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam what we did not hear, I have no doubt that he did. I will inform you that we were people of household, sheep and work, and thus we would only come to Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam morning and evening. He was a poor person who was the guest of Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam. His hand was with his hand. Hence, we do not doubt that he heard what he did, what we did not hear. I don't think any person who has good in him will attribute to Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam what he did not say. So it was an account of the sacrifice, his zeal for hadith, and the blessing of the dua of Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam that he became such a prolific narrator of hadith. Imam Dahabi states that the exceptional memory of Abu Huraira was a miracle of Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam. He also says that he had a very reliable memory, and that he has not known to have made a mistake in a single hadith. amongst the different scribes, one of the scribes was Abu Zu'ayza, the scribe of Marwan. And he states that one day Marwan summoned Abu Huraira, made him sit behind the bench. He then started asking him questions. And the narrator says, I started recording on some paper. A year later, he summoned him again. And he made me sit behind the veil and start asking about the same narrations. And he did not increase, nor did he decrease. He did not bring forth or delay. He said it precisely like how he said it the first time. So it's often claimed that Abu Huraira narrated 5,000 some odd a hadith from Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam. However, a deeper study informs us that the amount reflects his hadith with their repetitions or various variations in transmission, each of which has been considered to be a distinct hadith. Without those repetitions, his narrations amount to 1,475, of which only 935 are considered authentically established from him. Further, it's important to note that most of his narrations are corroborated by the other Sahaba, which leaves him with only 110, which he exclusively narrates. And these 110 narrations compromise of what he heard from Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam, what he saw him doing, and then and described the physical features of Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam. Over and above that, it should also be kept in mind that more than 800 people narrated from him, and amongst whom were Sahaba, eminent jurists, of the successors and expert retainers of hadith, not to mention scholars of the Ahlul Bayt as well. So all of this makes it abundantly clear that he was a meticulous narrator, was honest and sincere in his narration of hadith, and that he was not one to forge narrations and attribute them to Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam. And besides him being a prolific narrator of hadith, he was also an expert Islamic jurist in the science of the Quran. As is for his expertise in fiqh, it's sufficient to note that Abdullah ibn Abbas requested him to give legal verdict fatwa in a particular issue. And Ibn Hazm has included him in the category of middle class of those who issued fatwa after the time of Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam. And Al-Dhahabi has considered him to be from the master reciters of the Quran. It's reported that he completed the reading of the Quran with Ubay bin Ka'b. And together with all of this, Sayyidina Abu Huraira was a zahid, aesthetic, a saint. A person was disinclined from this world. In the home of Abu Huraira, there was never time in the night where the worship of Allah was not being carried out. Abu Uthman al-Nahdi says that I was the guest of Abu Huraira for 7 days. He, his wife and his servant would take turns in standing in prayer, successively each one third of the night. This person would perform salah and thereafter awaken this person, and this person would perform salah and thereafter awaken the other person, and would fast 3 days in every month, thereby earning the reward of fasting the entire month. And over and above this, you would seek the forgiveness of Allah 12,000 times a day, and would say, I seek forgiveness proportionate to my sins, subhanallah. And he would often seek refuge from adultery, theft, and disbelief. And he would he was asked, do you really fear that on you? And he replied that I have brought faith in the change of the heart, saying that three times, Amantu bi muharrif al-qulub. And in addition, he was so conscious of the afterlife that one day when someone asked him to narrate a hadith that he had heard from Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam, he replied by saying, I will relate to you a hadith which I heard from Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam, which I understood and fully assimilated. And he thereafter fell unconscious. And upon regaining consciousness, he said that the same. And again, he fell unconscious. And when he regained consciousness, he repeated the same words for the third time until he fell unconscious. And the fourth time only did he manage to narrate the hadith to the person. And he informed him that the first person to be taken to task on the day of Qiyamah will be a scholar, a martyr, and a generous person. And the fire will be fueled with them due to them being doing these actions for pomp and show. Furthermore, although jewelry was permissible for women, Abu Huraira would advise his daughter against wearing it and telling her, La talbisi al-dhahab, do not wear jewelry, for I fear you, that it will be a flame from Jahannam. And his love for Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam was so immense that he would refer to him as Khalili, my bosom friend. When the great Sahabi took ill, Marwan ibn al-Hakam came to ask him, and he prayed for him, saying that may Allah cure you. But Abu Huraira radiallahu anhu immediately supplicated, saying that no. Allahumma inni uhibbu liqaak fa ahibbu liqa'i. Oh Allah, I am desirous of meeting you, so be desirous of meeting me as well. And Marwana had hardly reached the center of the marketplace when the news reached him that Abu Hurairah radiallahu anhu had passed away. Abu Hurairah radiallahu anhu passed away in 57 after Hijrah, and according to the preferred opinion, radiallahu anhu wa radha, may Allah grant us the ability to follow in his footsteps and inculcate his noble qualities in our lives and instill love in our lives for those great personalities who were loved by the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam.